This is the Morgan Report with David Morgan. For the latest in precious metals investing, gold, silver, the economy, and more, go to themorganreport.com.
David Morgan with you with the weekly perspective for the 12th of November, 2017. Doing this a couple days late, I just returned from the Precious Metals Investment Symposium in Australia and a bit weary. So starting off, this is from Steve St. Angelo, SRS Rocco, and the title is U.S. Stock Market, Highly Inflated Bubble to Supercharged Tulip Mania. Definitely would suggest everybody read this article. I did put it out on our Twitter feed, but he starts off talking about how overvalued the market is, and it's probably got a lot further to go. One line that caught my attention that's humorous and not humorous is, even if the North Koreans launch a nuclear missile, the Dow would probably move up another 5,000 points. Then he says it's time to get serious. But what he's stating is that no matter what negative news is out there or what reality is, people are ignoring all of that and moving into the stock market as it continues to make new highs. Gave a few examples. JP Morgan up about 4,000% in 34 years. Caterpillar up about 3,000% in 33 years. Looking at Apple stock up 46,000%. Since the low in, I guess, 1984. Looking at the oil stocks, he picked ExxonMobil, showing that it has been much higher than it is, and it's retraced some of its share price over the last few months. By the way, oil is starting to break out that I made mention of in the last weekly or last week or year, week before. And one thing that Steve pointed out that I needed to be made aware of, and that's that silver follows the oil price quite sharply. And as I mentioned in the last weekly, the ETFs for the base metals have made a four-year high. So there are a lot of indicators, if you're paying attention, that we really have had a turnaround between the commodity sector and the other sectors, yet very few are paying attention. And he goes on in the article and, of course, talks about how undervalued silver particularly is relative to the rest of the market. Talked about gold and copper as well. And of course, I read some of the comments, which I usually don't do. And of course, some are very positive on his writing, and others are saying, Steve, you've been wrong for so long. Precious metals are a dud. You know, why are you touting them, et cetera, et cetera. In my own rather defensive way, let me just state that I'm still bullish to the precious metals for all the reasons I've stated and written about for years and years and years. The point being that I've never said go all in. I've always stressed to have a percentage of your investment holdings in the precious metals for various reasons. And there is no one secret amount that serves everybody correctly. But nonetheless, even Jeff Christian at last year's Silver Summit nearly a year ago talked about the most balanced portfolio. And believe it or not, the number that that Jeff had was something around 27% in the precious metals. And I forget the time duration. I think it was like a 10-year time frame. It might have been greater than that. And that's a large percentage to have in the precious metals for the optimum performance of a balanced portfolio. Sure, if the stock market's the only place to be and you're all into that, great, that's fine. Or into the cryptocurrencies, great. I'm not here to tell anybody how to invest with their own money. It's your choice. I'm here to tell you what works best over a long term and why a balance is really preferable to jumping on the next hot item. So I'll leave it at that. But I want to thank Steve in a public way. That great article, one of his best in my view. And another great article, I usually touch on the debt markets. And this is one from Bloomberg. Title reads, Centuries of Data Forewarn of Rapid Reversal from Low Interest Rates. And the subtitle is, Bank of England Study of 700 Years of Global Lending Indicates Current Drop is Part of Historic Trend. Very interesting article. This is written, is published by Bank of England staff blog, Harvard University's Paul Schmelzing, says most working points to a period of prematurely lower equilibrium real interest rates is too short term. In other words, the study goes back from the 14th century onward. And here's the real kicker. Real rates, or the benchmark interest rates minus inflation, in other words, a real return, has averaged 4.78%. So we'll call it about 5%. While the 200-year real rate is about 2.5%. So about half of what this 14th century onward data has shown. This makes the current market environment severely depressed, he wrote. However, it's simply following a five-century downward trend. And what's interesting is this last quote I'll give you, that be prepared, he says. The data shows most reversal of real interest rate stagnation periods have been followed by a rapid and nonlinear increase. Within 24 minutes after hitting their troughs in the cycle, rates gained an average of 315 basis points, with two occasions showing appreciations of more than 600 basis points. Something to consider. Certainly the debt markets are the ones that are most important to everybody on the planet, anyone involved in investment, or even not, just your basic living costs, whether you have any savings whatsoever at all. It's important to know how these debt markets respond to pressures that even the elites cannot control always and everywhere. There will be a day of reckoning when no one really knows, but the propensity to bottle up and control these mechanisms, these market forces, the more you try to control them, or the old adage that you're pushing a beach ball underwater and the further you press it down, the more it wants to rise, are basically good analogies for what will take place at some point. Whether or not the Working Group on Financial Markets is able to pull the circuit breakers and get it all under control and put a smiley face on it and make everything better by kissing it, I don't know. I certainly know that they'll try. But this time around, since the pressures have continued to build since the financial crisis of 2008, doesn't mean that they'll be able to handle it the next time. So forewarned is forearmed. I'll just finish off with saying I really enjoyed the Precious Metals Investment Symposium in Australia. I wanted to get there my whole life. I came a couple of days early. I went to the Melbourne Cup and actually was lucky enough to pick the winner of the main race. It was a long shot and it paid about 17-1. So I certainly like picking up my winnings at the window. And I went to a black tie event sponsored by the LME. And then, of course, the 2 days of the symposium itself, which was very excellent. So I want to thank everybody involved and extend a special to Kerry Stevenson, who invited me to speak there. As far as gold and silver, still stagnating, not much interest in the metals at all. We've certainly seen, as I said earlier in this update, that there are indicators showing that the metals and the commodity sector at large is doing better, but very few can see it. And we just have a few more months. There'll be tax loss selling probably from this point forward. So if you hold mining shares or resource stocks like we outlined in the Morgan Report, it's the best time really to sell your dogs and buy your winners 30 days later, whatever the tax laws are in your certain jurisdiction, and revamp, get ready. I think 2018 will be a very good year for commodities in general, and particularly the metals, but nothing spectacular. Most of the financial rhetoric revolves around the cryptocurrencies, with Bitcoin up to about $7,000, and the stock market just continues to make new highs. The depressed markets get little love, and of course, that's a great opportunity for people that are contrarians. By the way, speaking about the managed money, or actually the smart money, the real wealth, a lot of them have moved out of the stock market, believe it or not, and have started to acquire situations in the mining sector or the resource sector. And again, that's verified by what's happened with the base metal ETFs I reported on last week or the week before. So I'll sign off this week. Until next week, this is David Morgan with the Weekly Perspective. And remember, there's nothing more powerful than the truth.
This is the Morgan Report with David Morgan. For the latest in precious metals investing, gold, silver, the economy, and more, go to themorganreport.com.